Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky, broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston as we get you set for Patriots and Chiefs. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
If you happen to be lucky, you will have people in your life tell you that the world can be anything you want it to be. And you will believe them.
If you happen to be lucky,
you will be doubted.
You will ride the bench.
And you will fail.
But it's not about luck.
It's about what you do with what you are given.
It's about attitudes, their action.
It's about heart.
That's what cities are made of.
What champions are made of.
Chiefs Kingdom, Arrowhead Pride. Let's roll, baby, competition terrified.
That is Hype Week video number two from Tom Brady. Last week was the divisional round where he used the young guns. He used Mookie Betts. He used Charlie McAvoy and Jason Tatum. He wheeled back this week with Zdeno Chara, David Ortiz, Paul Pierce.
Truth.
All in the mix. So, I like that one better than last week.
I did too. It was a lot better. Last one was a little confusing. He was like the fire river, you know, snake moon. It was very confusing. This one makes a little bit more sense. These guys, you know, you got a whole bunch of winners on there too with you, guys that have done that.
I am the river.
Now, the Super Bowl hype video, you got to go even deeper, don't you? You got to go, John, get some.
I am the fire.
Yeah. You got to get Bobby Orr on there.
Orr, Larry Bird, and who?
Yes.
I guess it's got to be a level. But I'm Marky Mark. Why don't you use him?
That's probably going to happen.
Ted.
We know he's good buddies. Yeah. Ted.
I don't know. I don't know any other Boston actors.
The fighter.
That's all I know.
Well, Matt Damon, Casey Affleck.
Kind of familiar with the Affleck.
There's a few guys there.
Okay.
You could go John Krasinski.
Could Matt Channing, LeBlanc. Brown, Amber, Sabrina, Melody, Dakota, Sierra, Bambi, Crystal.
You have all of them on there too.
We can't count Christian Bale, but he was excellent in The Fighter.
He was very good. Yeah, he was good.
I'm sure we'll have something should they win.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be.
He's got something up his sleeve.
The bye week, good for building hype videos.
Oh,
for
my God.
Extra time for Tom, that little conference call with the boys at TB12-8. Yeah. Guys, we got to go big. Who can we get? Krasinski's
Bird.
Krasinski's out.
Captain America's from the area.
Chris Evans. Yeah,
absolutely.
Our destiny.
Nancy
is
Kerrigan?
Not
sure. Get her on there.
Grab her.
Yep, silver medalist. That'd be good.
I mean, second place isn't bad.
No. I mean, she got robbed. Oksana Bayul should not have won that year.
What about your former Patriots?
Like you were like
Randy
4
Moss.
Years old when that was going on.
No,
what the hell do you know about
Oksana
Bayul? You probably had a crush on her.
I was 10. I remember that. That was some
was
of the
90...
most... 94, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember all that.
Why?
How could you forget?
Tonya Harding ends up boxing, ends up in adult films.
Harding skated to the theme to Jurassic Park, and then during her skate in the Olympics, cried to the judges, and she like put her foot up on the thing and was like, my shoelace is
broke. Her shoelace came untied.
Like, get out of here.
Why?
Oh, I remember that whole thing.
They let her start over.
They did. It was like, it doesn't matter, honey.
You're not going to win anyways.
We know what you did.
All right, we will get back to your phone calls here in a second. I came across a bunch of stats in the last 48 hours I wasn't aware of heading into.
Here we go. New
the
stuff.
Game. So
NFL Sunday new stuff.
I want to sprinkle in some new stuff today. You guys explain to me what this means. Belichick against Andy Reid. We all give Bill Belichick the edge in coaching, I assume. Since 2000, the Patriots allowed 40 points 7 times. 3 of those have come against Andy Reid in Kansas City. The other, came against the Eagles last year under a disciple of Andy Reid and that Doug Peterson, Frank Reich offense. So Peterson played, obviously, for Andy Reid. Doesn't that say something that he's only happened seven times, essentially four times have come against an Andy Reid style of offense? What does this offense do that Bill Belichick's defense have not been able to account for? Like, are they all super talented? Is it? It's like great quarterbacks. It's Alex Smith and you know, Carson Wentz. So what's the
why does Andy Reid get such a bum rap anyways? I mean, I know there's the a couple
end of game.
No, I don't know if
end
it is game, that easy.
In game, well, end of game, underachieved.
I don't know if it's it is. Give me three examples and no Super Bowls of the you know, from 20 years ago.
Well, the Super Bowl is number one, right?
I'm not letting you use that one.
Why not?
He's
the head coach of a team whose quarterback seemed to be in slow motion when
you should penalize Bill for the same thing, for all the boneheaded decisions he made the last 4 weeks of the season.
I'm giving Bill criticism for Malcolm Butler a year ago.
It's overrated.
But it seemed like something happened with them. They made four straight trips to the conference championship game with the Eagles. Something always happened until the year that they finally broke through, and then they lost.
The Rams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, that's what happened.
All right, but I'm just saying they lost. And then last year they lost the home playoff game.
What? Was it because that he totally screwed up?
I would say some of the times, probably,
yes.
I know, but I'm talking like there's the stigma attached to Andy Reid, and I just don't know how realistic it is. Like, I just don't. Because there's nothing that stands out to me like Desperado. Right, I mean, so sure. Use the Super Bowl as an example, and the mismanagement. I would say that had more to do with the quarterback than the coach, anyways, because he was throwing up and taking his old sweet time. Not that I wasn't happy about it, but I just look at Andy Reid, and it's like he's this, clown coach that can never manage.
I don't think he's a clown coach by any means. I think he's one of the five best coaches in the NFL now. But I definitely give him all the credit in the world. Like, if you didn't have Bill Belichick, he would be on the short list of guys that you would want, because he kind of gives you an automatic 10-win season. Like, he is a guy that is going to get you into the playoffs. Not a lot of coaches can do that. Even Sean Payton doesn't make the playoffs every year, but he has a Super Bowl. Andy Reid doesn't. And part of it is he has a lot of teams. He gets his teams to the playoffs, but they haven't been able to break through. Like, the other guys that are on the list, you know, Pete Carroll's won and John Harbaugh's won. There's other guys that have been able to do it. He's coached for 20 years. He makes the playoffs way more than he doesn't, but he's only had one trip to the Super Bowl. So now I haven't, you know, gone through every single last 5 minutes of every game, but I feel like that storyline is out there for a reason.
Yeah, it's a couple of things. It's the in-game decisions and then clock management, right? Andy Reid's famous for, you know, in big games, burning timeouts early, not leaving himself, and specifically pick out games, Christian. If I had the time and the I could commercial break in Google, I could give you two or three examples. But when it's sort of a common known thing about a guy, and that's the reputation, I'm with Rich. I think he has earned it, and that ultimately is why a lot of people, because Belichick has gotten to these spots and made better decisions than Reid has. That's why we're giving him the edge. I'm with you in that he is in this matchup. I think it is a little bit overrated, given that in three times since, 2004, some crazy number, they've scored 40 or more points. So against the best coach maybe in the history of football, Andy Reid's teams put up points. That's significant to me and may offset at some level whatever big mismatch you have in the coaching setup for this game. That's what I would say about it. I mean, I don't know what it is about Andy Reid's offense, but there's something about it, for whatever reason. They put up points against the Patriots with AJ Feely, Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith. And doesn't matter who.
Sutton's been good defensively too. Like, I know we're talking about Reid, but I'm just saying, like, that it's been a pretty good combination against them. Just regular season alone, they've had some good success. The Patriots knocked them off this year, but it was super close. And after halftime, Chiefs looked like a completely different team.
Back to these phone calls at 617-779-7937. We go to Billy in Manchester. Hi, Billy.
I'm going to try to expedite this call as much as possible.
It's expedite, idiot. And who wouldn't get that right? Come on.
But first, before I get the football and the crowd noise, you know, kudos to Sam Kennedy and Pig Vomit. I mean, 10.5 hours of cold stove Red Sox talk during championship weekend. Amazing. Just what an amazing thing is going on.
A lot of baseball yesterday.
Xander Bogaerts' interview was thrilling, okay? But anyways, back to my point. You know, and by the way, the thing with Ordway and the crowd noise, that was me. I'll take full credit for finding that. I listened to it. I tweeted it out. And you retweeted it, but I found that. And I
okay, you get a producer credit. That's fine. Get to your point. Get to your point today, Billy. Get to
okay,
it.
Okay, the point is that if the crowd noise was so great, then the only teams you'd have in the Super Bowl in the last 10 years or whatever would be Seattle, Denver, and Kansas City. So my point is that I don't think it's that big of a deal, and you're making it into a big deal. There's no way.
All right, so how do you explain guys like Foray who played calling it the loudest place in the league? And how about 34 straight games in Kansas City, they have not allowed more than 30 points? That seems significant given that they're not a great defense, Billy, but at home, they're a much better team there. It's not like the food's not better. It's the crowd. The crowd helps them out at home.
You asked me about Foray. Listen, I'll take a starting tight end in Wigan versus Foray. Their opinion any day over Foray. Okay.
Mm. Ooh, wow. Was that supposed to hurt my feelings? I'm not really sure.
No.
Oh, okay, good. No, keep talking, then. Go ahead, keep going.
No, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think that they'll figure that out. But again, if it was such a big deal, then why hasn't Kansas City been in it? But why haven't they been in since Super Bowl III?
They have never hosted
Patrick Mahomes.
They have never hosted a championship game.
This is their first title game in Tyler Palko. They had Brody Croyle. They did have Montana. Well, that was the last time they got this far.
Elvis Gerback?
They had Gerback. Was a nice quarterback, Michigan man, the whole thing. They've had a bunch. I mean, Trent Green, that was supposed to be like a good run with them when Dick Vermeil went there after they were both with the Rams, but that didn't really work out. And Alex Smith was fine, but Patrick Mahomes is on another level. So just because you have a good home crowd doesn't mean you still need the players, specifically the quarterback, to get there.
And I think it's not the only thing, but it can help explain why they were so bad defensively, but then tied for third in points a lot.
And they're 8-1 at home.
Again, it's not the barbecue. It's not sleeping in their own beds. Something about that building, as Foray's talked about now for a week, is tough. It's tough to play there. I mean, I'm not sure how else to put it. Is it going to be enough? We'll see in a couple hours. Dennis in Hyde Park. Hi, Dennis.
Fellas, let me enlighten you.
Yes.
Good, right? Good.
Let's go, Dennis. Yes. Let's go.
Let me enlighten you.
Right.
Patriots all the way, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay?
Yeah. All right.
The Patriots are that good, right? Now, they lost 3 or 4 games this year, right?
Five.
You know something? When you lose, right?
All five in the row.
That helps you win because you know what to do to win now. You know how bad to play. These playoffs have gotten like basketball to the Patriots. They can shut it down a little bit, then boom. Other than that, Temple and Miami, they would have had home field, right?
Yep.
The thing we're now looking is the glass half empty or half full here. The Patriots are better than we think they are because the playoffs are here and they're going to turn it on now. So if anything, these Kansas City fans, they should be the ones nervous. And another thing, with all that fans, you know, and all that loud noise, as loud as it gets, it's going to get pretty quiet when the Patriots start scoring. What do you think of that?
I do. I think that's
Dennis brought on.
Let me ask you guys this.
And people mock my prank calling voice.
That was good.
Was that Fitzy or Dennis?
Dennis. Either. But Dennis was good.
They can shut it down a little bit, then boom.
Now,
boom.
Do you
boom.
If the Patriots win the
Tony
toss,
Romo. Boom. I-E-I-O-O, Jim.
I love Romo. Yeah. Can't wait to hear him today.
I know you do.
I love him.
I know you
now,
do.
Now, if the Patriots win the toss, do you guys receive?
No, defer.
Receive.
Defer.
They received last week.
Defer.
And it's the best defer. Game they played all season. I'm receiving. Foray, break the tie.
Stop Kansas
I'm
City
going
early.
Defer.
Defer? You're out
I'm
of your mind.
Defer.
Two yeah, down.
Yeah. We played the
in
game.
Arrowhead.
How many wild card games have you played it?
None, actually. We always had the bye. Never played in the wild card.
You defer. You let them go 3 and out. You let them go three and out. It starts to creep in.
Seven zip before you get your ass in the seats. You better receive and run it down their throats.
Although the fans will
just
be in the
like
seats early.
Week.
They'll be in the seats like at 2 o'clock this afternoon in Kansas City.
I got to figure out how I'm drinking because if I start drinking too much during the NFC game, it just could be a mess.
You know what, Dale?
Wait, so,
I haven't watched the fourth quarter yet.
Yeah, I missed the one.
What is a drinking game? What does a drinking day like look like for you, Keith?
For me?
Like, I'm going to get home
around 2:30.
Yep.
Crack one open then.
You're not home at 2:30.
No, maybe not in this weather.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, I'm home for kickoff. Crack a bad boy open then and just see where the world takes me.
Now, are you sitting like in a lazy boy with your feet up?
Yeah, feet up. I got to elevate the feet. I don't have a broken toe like Mutt, but I still want to get the blood flow going there.
Now, as the day goes on, do you get more belligerent, or are you pretty much a happy drunk? What does it look like?
No, on a day like this,
is like
I'm
your
a happy
wife
drunk.
Like hiding in the room because she doesn't want to be around you?
Yeah, she'll be in and out. She's not as interested in the games as I am necessarily. Okay. So it's really just beers and snacks all day. So from 3 o'clock until 9:40, 10 o'clock, it'll be beers and snacks.
Which seems to be the officer problem.
Yeah, that's going to be me at probably about 4:30.
Another example of, I don't have kids 101, right there. Beers and snacks. I'll just be watching the game. Nothing to bother me. Take the dog out in between the two games. Oh, whatever, no big deal.
That's I like that little window in between. That's when Harold's going to have to go out, go to the bathroom, then he comes right back in. Then we're good to go.
All right.
Looking forward to it. Keith on the snowblower later.
I know, right? Drunk!
Let's get Casey and Charlotte in before we get to all these phone calls. Good morning, Casey.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Case.
Good.
Good. Ooh. Love the show. First of all, I just kind of run this by you. I got a Patriots over 3.5 in the first quarter for $100. How do you feel about that?
There you go. Probably got some odds on that. Way to go. Hoping for a big start. Or tie game 3-3. You're feeling good about that. Way to go. It's a good way to get involved early in the game. Nice job by you, Case.
Sports Insight from the Action Network.
There you go.
Resource for me.
Mm-hmm. And then Keith, for you especially, I think you'd appreciate this. Have you seen Edelman's latest tweet with the?
I just retweeted it too. It's a cartoon talking about the super blood wolf moon. It's pretty intense.
The animated tweet where Tom Brady throws a football that turns into a horse that turns into an arrow that's flaming for some reason.
Okay, I gotta see this.
It's pretty well done. It's like the TB Times put to animation.
Like if you've ever seen like Aqua Teen
or live action
Force,
animation, whatever you want to call it,
home movies, any of those old animated shows, Dr. Cats. It's very similar to that.
All right, let me walk. Okay, I'm gonna walk people through it.
So
there's wolves around a football.
It's visual.
Brady picks up a football that's on fire. There's flames in the fire. He looks. Very focused. Now it's a zoom in on his eyes. He's focused. He throws the football.
Right.
Clearly, Brady, the football just turned into a horse.
Yeah.
The football is a horse.
Wait
now it's an arrow.
Yeah.
The arrow is flying through the air. Oh, Edelman caught the arrow.
Yeah.
Right before it hit him in the eye. Now lightning just came down and got the arrow. Somebody else, another player, is there. Lord. There's other players behind him. James White. Who's that? Stephon Gilmore.
Gronk and Gilmore.
Gilmore, James White. And he's holding the arrow. Boom. Game day. You'll coincide. There you go. Boom.
Whose idea was this? This is outrageous. This should be like one of those
shorts. Is that the music I'm missing on this? Oh, excellent. Good job.
This is like
you.
On like Adult Swim, like super late at night when they just throw weird stuff at you. And you're like, did I just see what I think I just saw? And it's like they're all like 5-minute videos
again,
or shorter. And you're like, what is this?
Put this in the pile of if another team did this, we would mock the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And specifically Edelman, and he had a great game last week. He's little Brady. Get the supermodel girlfriend.
JE11.
Through the TB12. JE11.com. Selling my own t-shirt. And now cartoon.
I'm disappointed there's not a link to the Bet Against Us shirts. I'm a little upset about that.
If you go on Instagram, you can swipe up and it goes right to you can buy the shirt right there.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. The phone number. It is Pats and Chiefs. It'll kick off at 6:40. The NFC game kicks off at 3. Pre-game is at 2 here on EEI.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mudd, and Keefe is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Back to NFL Sunday as we get you ready for Patriots and Chiefs on Sports Radio WEEI.
Everything we got when no one is watching. We're still here, preparing, working.
Stephon Gilmore with the INT.
Believing.
This time the Patriots get him.
He's out here today. We all want it. Let's go get it.
Because to get everything, it's going to take everything. So we're going to give everything. Everything we got.
All right, it's Kevin Falk first. Home game of the season for me, so I'm ready to give everything I got this whole weekend, so I hope y'all ready.
Kevin Falk is fired up. Everyone's fired up.
Patriots, I'm ready. You guys ready?
Patriots and
that got me
Chiefs.
Going.
Yeah, I wasn't fired up until I heard Kevin Falk.
Yeah,
like that,
now
that does
feet.
It for me.
All right, it's Kevin Falk.
Hey. Hey, Kevin. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I was just able to see the
yeah.
The Edelman.
What do you
cartoon.
Think? Give me the Fourier grade.
Pretty good.
I'm
so embarrassed for them now.
So Matt on Twitter says that Josh Gordon did a similar one, or did the same artist.
Same guy.
There's
did
a guy who does these type of things. We'll make a cartoon for it. Maybe there can be a podcast.
We've had one. We've had one. It was pretty good.
OMF could do one, right?
Could.
Like
surely
Glenn's
could.
In the middle, like directing to the
I
two.
Don't see why not.
I like playing with two jocks.
I like the animation. I enjoy it.
Let's call it jock snissing.
You could. It'd be a nice
Why
thing.
Is my character so short? I'm not that short. Yeah, I'm taller than Dale.
The stuff they do.
I like working with jocks because you can play with them a little bit.
Yeah.
It is kind of cringy. You know,
well, that, I think stuff. That is the same guy that it's because the Josh Gordon guy did one every week, like, even when he was back in Cleveland, I think, and he started doing them here in New England. Then all of a sudden it just stopped. I wonder why. Oh, yeah, because Josh Gordon wasn't on the team. Yeah, where's that cartoon?
I miss
where's
him.
That cartoon? What does the football turn into? Like a bong? Let's just show that one.
I'm not going there.
Josh
ridiculous.
Gordon commenting on Edelman's Instagram today.
Probably
with
loved
that video.
It.
So with like,
you saying go team and all that stuff?
The hashtag the Patriot Way LFG.
They miss it.
So Josh Gordon's still a Patriot heart.
Yeah, Edelman's Twitter avatar was Josh Gordon jersey for a while after he left the team. A
couple of buds just hanging out.
They love each other.
Why not?
I miss him so much.
Let's talk to... you really do. When do you have to leave, Christian? You need to go now?
Whenever they give me the high sign.
Okay.
So great.
If you just walk away, if Christian just walks away,
if you don't
away,
hear
folks,
him,
he'll be back. Vince in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Tommy Kern will join us just after 1 o'clock, by the way. Hi, Vince. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
I got two quick points. I just want to say that out of the three shows during the week, Mutt, Keith, and Christian, you guys are all my favorite. On those shows.
Oh, so this is by far your favorite show on radio. Then.
It's you like an all-star together.
So this is orgasmic for you.
Pretty good.
Pretty close to orgasmic, yeah. And, I just want to say, Christian, when you do the Ordway voice, it sounds just like...
What?
I don't know what he said. I don't know what it is. I'd like to hear this voice, though.
Yeah, so, well, Fourier's doing it. I mean, it's pretty similar. There's a lot of overlap.
We'll get
there.
It at some point.
Yeah.
Ooh, this call says, this is interesting.
What do you got?
Joe in the car says he has Tim Benz keys to the game.
Tim Benz has keys? Come on.
Does he have his own keys, or is it a Tim Benz thing? I'm not sure.
Keys. Does he have
Joe,
an open?
Explain yourself, Joe.
Does he have an open for it?
Tim Benz. Keys, Dink and Dunk, and Christian, what do you think of the keys?
There it is.
Is that
it?
Hey, Mutt.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's go. Let's hear the talking Patriots. Come on, let's hear it.
We're talking Patriots.
This guy, see, this guy got up instead of shoveling, just started to drink just right away.
It's a
couple Bloody Marys. I don't blame you. I would be doing the same thing.
Joe, are you off tomorrow?
I am off tomorrow.
Oh, awesome. Boy. Awesome day
so
for you.
Getting lubed
good for
up.
You.
Yeah, hey, Christian, how do you even get... Christian's all fake getting pumped up here. The guy's played in Super Bowls. He's pretending like he's excited to watch a game here.
Well, he's excited.
He's
also gone to go do some TV.
Yeah, he left. Joe's fired up.
I get the impression Fourier's excited for this game.
He is.
Why wouldn't he be?
He is. Well, he's saying because nothing's going to live up to actually playing in the Super Bowl. I don't know. Still exciting. This is the best time of the year.
Fourier is going to the Super Bowl no matter what.
He
is part of the taste
yes.
of the NFL experience.
Yes.
It so seems like just yesterday we were sitting in the old offices and he's got his feet up going, we're not going to the Super Bowl.
It seems like there's a good chance now.
Yeah, it's funny how he's changed his opinion about 9 different times.
Yeah, he has.
He's stuck with this since like week 16, though, to his credit. That's like a month where he said...
He said they are going?
They're back and they are going to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, we'll find out at 9:40 tonight whether or not we're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Let's
or not.
Hear. Let's hear Whitey from Eight Crazy Nights. See if Vince was on to something here.
You're coming from the street with dirty shoes on your feet. That's an ethical foul.
What are we gonna do?
If you switch the radio to some modern music show, that's an ethical foul.
And then a wolf attack. Then I saw a wild bear. Don't
shut. Similar.
It's actually, pretty close.
Yeah, it is. It is. Good call.
To dip into that movie.
Good job.
Steve's in a car. Hi, Steve.
I was hiking in the woods, and a moose grabbed me and threw me down.
What's up, man?
I got first, I just want to say I'm going to give you my reason why I don't think the Patriots are going to win.
Sure.
And then also I want to compliment, give kudos to Christian Fourier. Which one would you like to hear first?
Do the kudos. Get the kudos out of the way first, because he's not even listening. He went off to do a TV
fine.
Hit, so go ahead.
What up, yo?
That guy who was Rank, was it Bill who was talking, Chris pretty much doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
Christian Poirier has played on multiple teams and played in against every team. So he would know definitively about crowd noise and how it works. So I value his opinion more than that call it was ranking on him. And I think, correct me if I'm not, hasn't Christian won 2 Super Bowl rings?
That's right.
Yeah, but I
thank you. Thank you so much.
But see, see, this is where you get into the, like, so he's an expert on football. I think there are plenty of guys who have won, played in the NFL, who I would not give a crap what they said about the game. Fourier, to his credit, puts the time and effort in, and I respect what he has to say. That doesn't mean that every player should be treated like an expert, but Fourier is pretty good. I mean, he's okay, I guess. It's a poor man, Jermaine Wiggins. Yeah.
He's been there, done that. He's been in different.
All right, get to your.
All right.
You kiss his ass enough. Why are the
I can dig it.
Why are the Chiefs going to win this game, Steve?
So, I don't think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl just because of history. And the reason why is couple-fold. One, only 2 teams in NFL history have won the Super Bowl the year after they lost, the Colts and the 72 Dolphins. Other than the Bills going back-to-back, the teams have either had a crappy season or they've only gone to their divisional championship.
Yeah, this is pretty rare, Steve, a team to lose the Super Bowl and still be in the mix race Super Bowl the next year. That hangover real. That stat is real, absolutely.
Right, so that's why, look at the last 18 years alone has proven that out. Like, you think the Atlanta Falcons, they had the same team pretty much in the high power offense, what happened to them the next year?
Yeah, it's a very good point, Steve. We have not, and maybe it's the reason why they won't win, and thanks to the call. I also want to give them credit for getting back to this place, because teams usually don't do this. When you lose the Super Bowl, there's drama. There's a lot of finger pointing.
And there was drama.
If there was ever a Super Bowl, the finger point absolutely was the we didn't play Malcolm Butler game.
Right, didn't play Malcolm Butler. Gronk was going to retire. All this stuff that was going on with this team at the beginning of the year, there was some turnover, a whole bunch of guys that they didn't bring back, you know, whether it was Amendola or Cooks or Deion Lewis or Nate Solder, all these guys. And here they are, a game away from going to the Super Bowl again.
It's not crazy.
No other team would be able to do this.
It has not been talked about enough this week. That's an excellent point by Steve. And I'm not going to pick them to win. I'm picking Kansas City. But the fact that they got back to the doorstep, and they could easily win. And this would be something to see them lose it, then go to Kansas City the next year in the AFC title game, a year after Malcolm Butler, like you said, Brady Belichick drama that lingered for a little while after the Super Bowl. Is Brady going to come back? Is he not? At least that retirement stuff. Gronkowski will get to his whole retirement thing, actor, player, whatever. Then on top of that, you have the Miami Dolphins game, where you gave the game away, where this game should be at Gillette this afternoon. If it was the entire world,
that's the difference,
would be picking the Patriots to win. And to go to Kansas City and win and beat the number one seed and get back to the Super Bowl, where against the Rams they'd probably be the favorite? That is impressive.
Well, this
that
is probably impressive. The best Chiefs team of the last 20 years. It's one of the best Chargers teams of the last 20 years. Yep. And this is towards the bottom of Patriots teams of the last 20 years, right? 11 and 5, and you know, you're like, oh, I don't know. And yet here they are. They're just a game away from going back to the Super Bowl.
It's an excellent point by the caller. 617-779-7937. The phone number, Christian Fourier will rejoin us. Tommy Curran just after 1 o'clock, and all your phone calls coming up. And we'll get into, speaking of Rob Gronkowski, is this his last game as a Patriot? Is he going to retire? Some more news on that as well. NFL Sunday continues here on WEEI.
More of NFL Sunday right now with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky as we get you ready for Patriots and Chiefs on Sports Radio WEEI.
Do you feel the tension when you get on the field for the AFC Championship games? Like, you go through the week of practice and get yourself ready, but once you get on the field, it's different.
I would say so. I mean, because of the atmosphere of the football game, the atmosphere of the crowd, I mean, same way last week at our stadium, you just knew it was buzzing right from the beginning, and it's going to be the same out at Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, it's going to be popping 30 minutes, 60 minutes probably prior to kickoff, and then right at kickoff, you know it's going to be a playoff atmosphere there. I mean, been there in the regular season, it felt like playoff atmosphere, so I just can't imagine what it's going to be like going in a stadium like this.
Yeah, it's one of the bigger stadiums in the entire league. For a long time, the Chiefs had a hard time filling that stadium. They built it. They sucked right after they built the thing. Took a while, and now it's 4A. I mean, I keep saying it. 4A played there. It's loud.
loud.
It's going to be.
Set the record.
It was never empty when I played there.
Yeah, it's a factor in this game. I'm not sure. The Patriots are really good. The silent count, the silent snap count. I'm sure Brady is as good as anybody in the entire history of football. It'll be a factor in this game, whether it's a burnt timeout, whether it's a delay of game, whether it's communication problems. It will be a factor for the Patriots.
Well, that's why I'm surprised you guys would both defer and not take the ball, because if they go up 7-0, don't you think it's just going to be a madhouse in there? Like, if they take the if they go down and score, the first time the Patriots have the ball, the place you're not going to be able to hear yourself think.
Well, how about the first third down, though? Third and six, early on in the game, the crowd will be into it versus, say, what if the could be a little down on themselves if the Chiefs go three and out.
Yeah, what if they hold them?
Say it, Christian. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no. Yeah. It's
I get excited for my crowd.
Yeah, there it is.
Yes, I've had a five.
Yeah, so the crowd's in it to the end. So what does it matter? You know, a field goal here, you know, a holding for a three and out hit there. It doesn't matter. They're not going anywhere. They're not. If it's a close game, whether the Patriots are on offense or on defense, you know, they're going to be into it.
Do you think they're as confident this week as they were a week ago against the Chargers defense? Because I don't think they are.
The Patriot offense.
I think they knew, and Brady wouldn't go this far. Gasp asked him after the game. We asked him on Monday, you know, did you know the answers to the test ahead of time? They were supremely confident. I don't think they're going to feel the same way, and I think they'll go back to, if they win the coin toss, they'll get they love having that ball to start the second half. They get a chance to see what Kansas City wants to do, Rich. Mm. It's a different setup than being at home against the Chargers.
I've got the answers to the test.
There you go.
No, I mean, I thought the Chargers defense was better than the Chiefs defense. Like, at least for the course of the season, it was. But then I guess when you start to really look at specific game plans and the defensive coordinators on either side.
Gus Bradley.
Yeah, it's hard to have an edge there. It just is. I didn't really factor that in. I thought the game was going to be a lot closer than it was a week ago. But the Chiefs, they've given up a million points. And maybe part of it is, you know, their offense scores more than anybody else. So you just are naturally in more shootouts, right? I mean, we've seen it before with the Patriots. When they score a million points, it's hard to, you know, win every game by 21. Like, there's going to be some higher scoring games. But they looked really good against Andrew Luck. Maybe it was Andrew Luck being outside, just fell apart. But that was a really hot Colts team and offense. They scored one offensive touchdown against them last week. That was pretty impressive.
And I look at them. They've been an impressive team at home this year. We'll pick through some of those stats coming up later on in the program. Let's go back to your phone calls. Derek in Newton joins the show at 617-779-7937. Hi, Derek.
Ooh. Ooh. Hey, Mud, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, long time. First time caller, long time listener, man. Big fan of yours.
Thanks, buddy.
I want to start off. I'm going to predict definitely a Patriots win.
Nice.
Okay.
Just because, the snow back here in New England, it makes me feel like it's a Patriots day. You know what I mean?
It does feel like it. If they were playing at Gillette, I would walk to Twin River to bet the Patriots. There is no way Kansas City was coming here today in this whole setup and beating the Patriots at home, given how well they played at home this year. I think it's a little different on the road, but I can see why people are confident about their team this weekend, Derek.
Yes, absolutely. I don't remember who it was. I wanted to call in early in the week, but I was a little under the weather. I didn't have the energy.
Good.
Well, I'm sorry.
Feel better?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
Hey, Derek.
Who was it that was calling Sony Michelle Phony Michelle?
Phony Michelle.
No, the great Mark James.
D'Antilio.
Mark James.
What is that? I mean, was he proven wrong? Did he eat his words last game or what? Like, come on.
Not sure.
What more gas from the rookie?
No,
not see, much. He had a great game.
At this point, look, if you are on, if you said that Sony Michelle sucks and blows, or you've called him Phony Michelle, there is literally no reason to take your flag off that take island. If
it's
you've
tough
already
to be
planted
humble
it,
when you're great.
You might as well just stick with it. It seems dumb when you say it. I think you're a moron for suggesting it. I think that he has been a huge factor as to why they even won 11 games this year. There was a stretch where Brady was hurt. There was a stretch where this team was struggling, where Sony Michelle was averaging over 5 yards a carry on first down. They started a lot of drives with him getting the ball and going right or left and picking up 4 or 5 yards.
A first-round pick for that guy?
He has been an effective first-round pick and a guy that I'm sure they're thrilled they have under their control for the next 4 years after this year.
There's some nuance to the argument, because I think there's a big difference between saying he sucks and did you really need to use a first-round pick on him? Because you look around the league, there's a lot of really effective running backs.
He blows. Yep, that guy's awful.
Who you could get somewhere else. And I think the Patriots are a really good example themselves of, LeGarrette Blount had like a 50-touchdown season. He was an undrafted guy. Jonas Gray ran for 400 yards against the Colts in a game. He was undrafted. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had a 1,000-yard season, undrafted. So you can find running back. Like, where was Kareem Hunt drafted? You can find guys not in the first round.
Well, this year you could do it. You could say Kerryon Johnson, drafted in the second round by the Detroit Lions, might end up being a better player than Sony Michel is. But like, going into the year, they didn't have this guy. Mike Gillisley wasn't this guy.
No, they didn't.
Jeremy Hill, Brady mentioned a million times, it was never going to be that guy.
A goal line guy.
They needed a bell cow running back who was going to get the ball on first and second down. He has struggled in short yarded situations. Rich, you've been all over him, but I would say...
he's solid.
We get to this point in the year.
And it doesn't matter where he was drafted.
If I told you going into the year, guys, you got this season, whatever you, this product from Sony Michel, wouldn't you say it was worth a first-round pick? I would say yes.
No.
Really?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Versus what they have?
Like, I feel like they could have gotten somebody else. They could have grabbed a guy in the third round. Like, where was James Conner picked? Like, you can find guys. Like, and I think their offense, I think the offensive line, I think, has been really good this year. I think because it's still Tom Brady, even though they don't have the world's greatest receivers, you still have to really prepare yourself for that. And James White is such a good pass-catching back that I think you could put somebody else in the Sony Michel role. I'm with you, but you could do it.
So just to go back, so some of the names that you listed off, right? So James Conner, Kerryon Johnson, who's the other one you've named? LeGarrette Blount. All those guys had some sort of issue attached to them, which made them questionable. You know, not tremendous long shots, but you know, questionable whether they would be able, one, stay on the field, two, would they fit the system. I look at Sony Michel, and people make such a big deal out of this first-round pick, but you're getting the right value for him. You're getting first-round value. Here's a guy, starts right away. He's your back. He's not sitting out. He's not getting used to it. He's your back. He's starting. He's almost a 1,000-yard rusher, and if he didn't get hurt, he'd probably have over that, you know. And the one limitation, the issue I have with him is his short yardage ability. I just don't feel like he finds it kind of like you do, but I guess I'm just not all uptight about the fact that they could have got someone else, you know, in the first round. You know, there's all these backs. Yeah. You know what? There's also left tackles, right tackles. There's tight ends that go later that end up starting. There's tons of positions, but people really focus on the back as that, like, I don't know, the ones that everyone's talking about where, and I get it, but based on what he's accomplished, I don't know. I just
no. It's not the biggest deal in the world. It's not like, oh my God, what a disaster. I just think first round running back to me is Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, and you could tell right away by watching those guys. Okay, that's different.
Those are elite
guys. That's a first round pick running back.
But it was also taken at the end.
You're right. He was the 31st.
He was
pick,
not.
So
they didn't take
a
top
pick.
10 running back.
No,
here.
It's true. But there are plenty of guys I think that you could find that could do what he did. That's all I'm saying.
You could.
Philip Lindsay was undrafted this year. The guy was a beast.
I think at some level, they wanted to take a guy in the first round because of the way it sets up from a contract standpoint. So you've hammered them, and rightfully so, for not taking Garoppolo in the first round. If they really like Jimmy G, take him in the first round, extra year for the contract. Can we all agree that the running back position, there is a mileage thing there. As you get older, the best years, ironically, are probably the first years 2 through 5 are probably the best years for running back. Well, when you take a guy in the first round, you've got the extra year of the contract, right? So you can essentially use up Sony Michel's best years. And after that fifth year, you don't pay him big money. You let him walk away and you recycle the thing. If you take a running back in the second round, what's one less year? Undrafted guy, if he has a big year or two, you've got to all of a sudden pay him. There is a financial benefit. People probably don't care, but there is a benefit to taking a guy in the first round, having him under control for 5 years, especially at that position.
No, that's actually a great point. I didn't even think about that, but that is an excellent point. Because
you're welcome.
Yeah, no, well,
you can steal that.
I think we like to
nailed it. No, we share thoughts on this show.
I will not steal it. And if I do use it, I will credit you. I will be like, I'm going to borrow this.
Good.
No,
because Glenn,
but it's right, because you really think about it. Like, really, you don't want him for any more than 5 years.
That's it.
If
use him up.
I mean,
the counter, disposable running backs.
But the counter to that would be draft a guy in the third round, use him for 4 years. Then guess what? Draft another guy in the third round, use him for 4 years.
Yeah, I still think you're risking it. Hoping that you'll find another guy in the third round. Because for every great Philip Lindsay story, there's another guy out there that just got hurt, couldn't make it, couldn't stay off the weed, whatever it is, whatever limitation or issue that he had, he just didn't pan out.
And in this case for year one, he has. We'll see. I think if you think the Patriots are going to win today, then you believe that Sony Michel is going to be a factor because they are. I think they're going to have to run the ball.
I think
they're
going
to have to keep
sure.
the Chiefs' offense off the field. The Chiefs, for all the positive stats I can give for them this year and try to spin their defense better at home, they have sucked against the run. 31st or 32nd in DVOA against the run. They cannot stop the run. They can't stop a nosebleed, as Bart Scott said.
Yep.
So it's going to be Sony Michel and, to a lesser extent, I think James White, if you think they're going to win this game. John's in a card, 617-779-7937. Hi, John.
Hey, Mutt. Yeah. Just about to head into Tiverton here.
Nice.
Yeah, I was just curious. This is the don't tell anybody, but this is the place to go if you want to make a quick bet. Just wondering, I know you like the Chiefs. Who else are you picking today? I'm just trying to do the opposite.
Yeah, you want to go fade, Mutt? It's a hashtag fade, Mutt. You want to fade me today, you want to go Rams and the under, Patriots and the under. Is a full, complete fade of me. So you can go 14 parlay, Rams under, Patriots under, and when those two hit, all four, you're
going
to go 4-0 for the weekend.
So your actual picks are Saints, Chiefs, over-over?
Chiefs, over-over,
yeah,
yes.
I love the Saints anyway, so that's awesome. Thanks a lot, Mutt.
The Gambletron 2000 says the winner is...
The Dale and Keefe show's pick, because we won our pick last week, so we rolled it over to this week.
I saw Steve DiAssi put 420 crisp 20, oh, $100 crisp $20 bills in the
table. Doubled down, so he's taking $200. I think he already made the bet. We are in on the under 57 Rams Saints. I know, I didn't feel
what
great
is
about
what is that's under, a loser. What is the under for the Patriots game?
I can give you an up-to-date line, courtesy
that's
of...
That's actually moved. It's moved. Is it 56.5?
Well, some of us jumped in at 54.5.
You locked that puppy in there. I feel good about the over in that.
That's my biggest bet of the weekend will be... No one gives a crap, but the over in this game.
I have right now that I put into gambling.
Yeah, sure you do. Where's William Hill? Ooh, 56.5, and I use William Hill because they are the bookmaker for Twin River.
Oh, okay, good.
So you're going to Twin River right now.
56.5?
It's Pats -3.
I think it's over.
I'm sorry, Chiefs -3. But you're laying extra juice there. It's -120. 56.5 is the over-under.
I'd go over that game.
Isn't it a high-scoring game?
I think so.
It was 43-40.
I think they're both teams
at
the
beginning
30s.
Of the year. And that's when Mahomes had two turnovers in the red zone.
Right. Yeah, I'm taking the under.
Ooh, boy.
I'm going to drive down. I'm going to make a bet.
You're going to drive down right now.
So you're going to leave, go during
the show?
No,
again.
You don't. You probably
it's not after the show. It's close to me.
You must have
it's
a lot
like
of TV.
Half an hour away.
So we left the show four times.
We know but he's been good when he's been here.
Yeah, he's been great.
There's been no
he's
drop been in.
I think two more times.
That's okay. Listen, you're an important guy to WBC.
It's a big game.
So Keith,
how long is that pregame, you guys?
We know Keith's set up here. He's going to go through about 17 craft beers before kickoff tonight. He's going to be asleep. His wife's going, honey, it's the fourth quarter.
Didn't you say you wanted to watch the Patriots?
I'll watch it in the morning. Oh, I got it. It's DVRing, honey. I'll watch it in the morning.
But you got to tweet out something.
Drunk and stupid.
Are you guys Instagramming during the games? Do you have a TV like during? You don't have TV during the game, right?
No. Like, once our show is over, I go home and I'm just gonna sit on my couch.
There you go.
And basically, probably I got some chili that I'm gonna heat up.
Nice. Good chili day.
Other than that, I may go get some from Red Robin. I don't know. We'll
but do you have post game TV hit?
Yes.
Doing the post game show with Steve Burton.
Full day. Me.
Full day.
Yeah, everybody's out in Kansas City, though. Levin Reed, Dan Roach, Burton. They're all out in Kansas City, so I'm solo here.
Oh, boy.
So what do you? Yeah, so they'll be. Let's go back to Christian Fourier and they'll do like a hit hour. That's easy. Good for you.
Yeah.
There, is that?
I am.
Is the CBS scene open yet? Are people there?
No,
getting lunch.
It is not open.
Good for you.
Or maybe it is, but nobody's here.
Don't say that.
Roads are terrible.
They
are
awful.
It's getting
right?
to that point now where like it's not snow. It's not rain.
No, it's just raining
it's
ice.
You are driving. You're driving on a skating rink.
It's this icing right now.
Yeah. So nobody wants to come out, which is great.
Stay home. Nobody go out today. 617-779-7937. The phone number. We'll come back at all your phone calls. It's Patriots and Chiefs. I'm on the Chiefs. You're on the Chiefs, correct?
I am.
He's on the Pats. Let's come back and explain ourselves on these picks. We're picking respective teams here in the biggest game of the year. It's NFL Sunday, Championship Sunday here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.